Is there such a thing as clarity on this issue?
Well, I think there certainly is. And again, thanks for having us on today. The clarity really revolves around what it is that's happening on the site. You have a very clear site plan that includes a collaborative performing arts center. It includes a mixed-use building that will generate about $19.3 million in additional property tax base within a tax increment finance district that will effectively finance and support the $5 million investment the city is making in the Performing Arts Center. In terms of the county referendum, it's been very clear and clear from the onset that when the county board voted, and I believe that vote was 21-5 in favor of an investment in the Confluence Project, that would have a tax impact. And that impact for an individual or a family owning a $150,000 home would be just a little less than $9 annually. So, we do, I think, have a very good understanding of what the facts are here. I think that, some of the difference that we've seen perhaps has really revolved around how those facts are interpreted and the kind of economic impacts this type of a project has an opportunity to have in terms of being a catalyst for economic growth in the downtown area.
The whole concept, is there a problem with apples and oranges going on here? Are people maybe becoming confused because someone is showing them an apple and someone showing them an orange?
Unfortunately, I do think that's the case. And there was a pretty stern editorial in the Leader Telegram, last week revolving around that very issue. I think there have been a lot of assumptions made in terms of how this could potentially impact a city property taxpayer using a lot of variables that aren't related to the project and using a lot of information that leaps to assumptions about, what our city council will look at doing as our budgets move forward in the future. Our preference, and although we're called Voices for Growth, our preference is to focus on the facts that are currently at hand, and I've outlined those for you previously.
Is this viewed as you're involved in economic redevelopment and civic redevelopment? Is this viewed as a vital link to the chain of downtown redevelopment for Eau Claire?
I think a very critical link as it relates to redevelopment in the downtown area. A project of this nature, not dissimilar to what we saw with Phoenix Park, for instance. You had a public-private partnership. You had the public making an investment in, phenomenal park space that's incredibly well used. You had the private sector and RCU making a significant investment in an area that had previous to that been blighted. Mm-hmm. Basically when I went to school here back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I lived right across the river from that area, and it was a field. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time over there. I'd throw balls to my dog in the field of weeds. And today, it's a phenomenal place. It's a great location within the community, and that kind of catalytic project then led to the additional redevelopment that you've seen in that area. Now today you're seeing the JAMP facility, you're seeing additional residential components, and very similar to that, I think the Confluence Project with its public-private partnership can position the South Barstow area or the southern part of our downtown to really achieve that kind of redevelopment and growth that we should be aspiring for here in the community.
A little bit more about that. I'm sorry, Kathy, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that all of the planning that's been going on for downtown seemed to converge right at the right time as this project was being conceived. The Clear Vision process was being finished, and we saw in that process that the community wanted a fine arts center. The community met at RCU. Al, I think you moderated that discussion. The museum had done the culture plan, the good life plan for the county. And that was for the whole county. That wasn't just the city of Eau Claire, mm-hmm. we might all remember, where people also talked about the importance of a fine arts facility. And the waterways plan at that time, too, where that said we're not making a good use of our waterways, which people value, they want to see, they want to touch, and we've turned our backs to the waterways. And then the properties on Graham and Eau Claire Street became available to purchase. And that was kind of the linchpin of the whole project. Mm-hmm. And so Dan Klumpner and his associates were able to purchase those buildings, and that got us started on this project.
Yeah, I mean, initially it was what many people were saying was something was coming that was overdue for the city of Eau Claire.
Right. Right.
And I think that's where the whole Clearwater thing.
And all those plans, every time we looked at them, mm-hmm. People would say, yes, but we'll need private investment. We'll need the private sector to come forward. And here now, the private sector has come forward in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more, James, about that public-private sector partnership, because to some it's very exciting because it feels entrepreneurial in relation to what other communities have done, and it's something that Eau Claire hasn't done with the university too often, or maybe successfully. Talk about that.
In terms of the public-private partnership piece of this, it's not all that incredibly unique. Communities have worked very closely with private developers and utilized tax increment financing to make strategic investments in revitalizing downtown. Happens all over the state of Wisconsin. I think what really does make this project quite a bit more unique than others is the kind of the third stool, or the third leg of the stool, I should say, with the university being engaged and involved. And, I think that university engagement does a number of things that we're not able to do on our own. Number one, we wouldn't be looking at a performing arts facility of this size were it not for the university's involvement, the guaranteed revenue that comes as a result of their engagement, and the upfront capital investment the university brings to the table through the state. Mm-hmm. Without that, we really wouldn't have a project. So that public-private partnership combined with the university element, I think, really makes this a once-in-a-generation kind of thing. And, you talk to some of our city fathers, folks that have been around the community for quite some time, and they'll talk to you about, the university wanting to be more engaged with the community in the past and, having an interest in doing these types of collaborative projects because they make sense. Mm-hmm. And functionally because they reduce costs for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it hasn't happened before. I think we have a phenomenal opportunity to make it happen today.
Is there a specific aspect of the challenge that surprises you the most?
Yes. There is for me. The partnerships are incredibly important, as James has said. The state of Wisconsin, the UW system, the university, the foundation, the city, the county, the community arts groups, the philanthropists. But because it's such an important partnership, it is also makes it very difficult. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the university is the anchor partner in all of this means that we are subject to the state of Wisconsin capital building process.
Yeah.
And it's a two-year process. It's a biennial process. And we missed the 13-15 biennium. And now we have to go into the 15-17 biennium. So as a result, it's taken a long time. There's been a time of just waiting mm-hmm. for the next process to start. And so people have gotten a little bit anxious and asked questions about the details that we can't answer yet because we need approval from the state first before we can do a design, or not we, but the developers can do a design for the project. That, to me, has been the most difficult part.
So to the people who are, in favor of this and have worked hard on it, it must seem as if the stars are somewhat aligned for this project.
Very much so. You know, and I think if opposition and you know, I'm certainly, we'll find out April 1st, but, you know, I'm certainly inclined to believe that opposition is fairly narrow. You know, but what if that opposition has done anything, it's really helped the project in terms of fine-tuning and sharpening the relationships amongst the various partners and parties involved. You know, we've had to develop a strong coalition and a lot of folks from the Chamber of Commerce to folks at the university, students, other members of the community, other organizations, builders, trades, et cetera, you know, have really had to spend a lot of extra time analyzing this project and coming to a conclusion about their level of support. And then we've seen that commitment go forward. That's been pretty positive. Mm-hmm. And then I think behind the scenes, and an oft-forgotten component of this is that, you know, the city council did create a confluence task force back in the fall. And that task force has been quietly and very deliberatively going through a process of effectively creating the Confluence Council or the organizational body for, you know, the Confluence mm-hmm. Center. You know, so that has been, I think, a real positive experience and something that has provided, you know, a number of answers to many of the questions that people have had about the project. Mm-hmm. And I know, Kathy, you've been involved in that.
James and I are both on the task force. And I have to say that while people have been making almost an occupation out of asking questions, but not really trying to find the answers, in my opinion. Our group has been working very diligently all fall, and we are just about to appoint the Confluence Council. And that council is going to determine the policies for things like scheduling and ticketing and rates and all of the issues that the arts groups have been concerned about. The council is going to be made up of 9 people. The chancellor or a designee, the city manager or a designee, the director of ECRAC, a person from Visit Eau Claire, probably the chairman of the music department at the university, a person from the Haymarket group, and 2 members of the community at large. And then, and this is one of the exciting parts to me, this council is going to have at least 1 standing committee, and that committee is going to be made up of representatives from all the arts groups. So they're going to have not only a seat on this council, but they're going to have a standing committee that's going to make recommendations to the council. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have quite a lot of representation, and that's what they were eager to have when we met with them in the fall.
Yeah, that has been a concern that's been that's been voiced a lot, is how do you share something so wonderful? Should you be concerned about how you're going to share it, I suppose?
As a board member for a number of not-for-profit organizations and a few that are involved in the arts, it is a really important decision. You know, to be able to, as a not-for-profit, be prepared with your scheduling, understand how rates are going to impact your financials and your bottom line. Those are all very important issues. And, you know, I think one of the things that's really exciting about pulling together the Confluence Council is that we'll be in a position where we can, you know, not only answer those questions effectively, but those who are impacted by those decisions are going to have a seat at the table and be able to be a part of, you know, going through that decision-making process. And I think that's really important. And I've been very appreciative of a number of the arts organizations that have been very supportive of the project, have also had some questions that they want to make sure are answered, and have been willing to be a part of that decision-making process, and they'll continue to be through the Confluence Council.
Kathy, a little more on the role of the city and you as representatives in this mm-hmm. process.
You know, the city participates and supports development projects all the time. And it's nothing new for us to, for example, pledge, like we did here, some money toward the infrastructure in a project. That's what we do. That's what the city should do. provide the basis for economic development. And that's one of the concerns I have about the city referendum that's going to be on the ballot. It takes decisions about that kind of participation in capital projects away from the council and puts it into a referendum or into the hands of the voters. I think this will be a major detriment to economic development in our community if that referendum passes, and particularly for the arts and for performing arts and music. They're being singled out here, but I think that it could also have an effect on all kinds of other venues in the community, negative effect.
Again, you know, the contention is that the bottom line is going to be affected, people's bottom line, whether it's the communal banks, personal banks, checkbooks, whatever. Is there, James, really such an onslaught of irresponsibility and debt and tax hikes that should keep us from doing this thing?
No.
Somehow I knew you'd say that. But.
So bottom line.
You're a bottom line guy. You deal with it all the time.
And do. And, you know, so bottom line, if you own a $150,000 home, you're looking at about a $9 impact on an annual basis over a finite 10-year period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I look at that, and then I look at that in the context of a number of other investments that the county makes, things like UW Extension. This would be similar to the investment in UW Extension. Now, I personally don't use UW Extension, but I'm grateful it's here. And I know a lot of folks, you know, particularly in the rural parts of Eau Claire County, that derive a significant amount of benefit from an ag extension agent, from, you know, the work that they're doing to help facilitate economic growth here in the area. So what I like to do is compare it to other investments, other options. You know, for someone who owns a $150,000 home, just on the county side, your investment in the library system is about $12. So, you know, we get great benefits as a result of having that type of a facility. And that's not a finite investment. That's an infinite investment going forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, I look at it and weigh this investment in relation to other things that we do at the county. And I think it's pretty reasonable.
I'm guessing both of you are still very optimistic about our ability to work together as a community, as a city, as a county. You are.
Absolutely.
I can see that in your face.
Yes.
What I'll say is this. You know, I think that what has happened in local governments over the course of probably the last 12 to 15 years has been a tightening of the local belt. We've seen significant reductions coming from the state in terms of shared revenue. We've seen levy limits and caps that have really required local units of government, counties, townships, cities, to really start thinking outside of the box and really start thinking about things a little bit differently. And one of the things that I like about that is it's fostered an environment conducive to collaboration. And that collaborative initiative has driven cost reductions in a variety of different departments at the city, at the county, collaborations there. And now we see an opportunity with collaboration amongst not just the city and the county, but the university. These things make sense, and they end up reducing costs.
Mm-hmm. And this is why economic development is so important. Going back to what James was saying earlier, we have got to build the tax base. We can't raise taxes much at all because of the levy limits. So we've got to build the base, and infill development, which is what this is one of the best ways to do that. So more entities paying taxes means that the rest of us don't have to pay higher taxes. And that's very important. I think that's being lost in this whole discussion. Economic development is a good thing.
Yeah. Discussion's a good thing.
Right.
And I think that's what's going on, and I have to wrap it up, but what's been going on is good for us all, the fact that we have talked about it. Everyone taking the time to deliberate the possibilities. I think we owe you guys a debt of gratitude because you are personifying public service. You really are, and you're getting involved, and thank you for that. Any final comment?
County yes, city no.
And be sure you vote on April 1st.